Hello, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. We invite you to our website at ebiblefellowship.org for additional Bible studies. And now, with his study in the book of Romans, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the book of Romans. Tonight is study number 49 of Romans chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. We're continuing in our study of Romans chapter 1, and we're currently in verse 27, where God is emphasizing the particular sin of homosexuality that will be in evidence at the time of the end of the world. And it's not only based on Romans 1 that we say that, but it's also based on the language found in the book of Genesis, in Genesis 19, when God is about to destroy the city Sodom, and the sin of homosexuality was one of the chief sins of the city Sodom, and anybody can see it by reading the chapter. And the Lord makes reference to Sodom and Gomorrah in relationship to the time of his coming at the end of the world. And that reference can be found in at least one place that I'll mention, in Luke 17, where we read in verse 26, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." So God ties together the destruction of Sodom with the day when Christ is revealed as the judge of the earth. And we're living in that time now, as the Lord Jesus, the Word, is actively judging all unsaved people of the earth. And so the sin of homosexuality is in view with Sodom and Gomorrah and God's judgment upon it. And here in Romans 1, as God says he will give man up, and we looked at that word give up, God gave them up, and we saw it identifies with being delivered up for judgment. And one of the forms of God's final judgment on the church, as well as on the world, is to turn man over to his lusts, to his evil desires, the thing that his heart had always wanted and sought after. And so God is letting him have his fill. And here we read in verse 27, men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. And the Greek word translated as unseemly is only found twice, once here, once in Revelation 16, verse 15, where it's translated as shame. So working that which is shameful, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And the Greek word translated as meat, day, is probably better translated as must needs be. Must needs be. And we won't go to any places. But it's something that will be a consequence, a result that has to be, is what it's conveying. And it's referring to this statement, receiving in themselves, that is, these men who are engaged in homosexual activity, they're receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which must needs be. And the reference here, I don't know if we can pinpoint it from the Bible, exactly what's in view, but it would appear to be that this is related to the AIDS, the HIV epidemic that took place in the 80s and has been going on since then, for almost 40 years or 30 some years. And over the course of that time, there have been about 32 million people that have died and many others that have become ill with AIDS. Now, not all have been homosexuals, but very large numbers of people who have had HIV or AIDS have been homosexuals. It is a disease that has been connected to homosexual activity, and so the recompense of their error, which was or must needs be, it seems to be according to God's natural law. When people go outside of the boundaries of God's law, and this happens in heterosexual acts of fornication, as well as homosexual acts, when people go outside the bounds of God's law for sexual activity, and the Bible is clear that the only lawful place for there to be sexual activity is in the marriage bed between a man and a woman that have come together in the union of marriage, and God instituted marriage, and they have come together as man and wife. Now God recognizes their union. They are one flesh, and he says of the marriage bed in Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. See, in marriage is the place for sex, is what God is saying. And of course, that's too limited for the people of the world. Oh, no. And it's too old-fashioned. It's tyrannical, it having to do with the Puritans. They see it as oppressive and that which holds back love and people's care and desire for others. And you know, man has a thousand ways of justifying his evil deeds, of justifying his evil desires, the things he wants to do. And often he wants to do them precisely because they are evil, just as back in the Garden of Eden, where there was one tree. How many trees were there in the garden? We're not told, but probably great numbers of various trees of all sorts, wonderful trees, beautiful trees, fruit-bearing trees, and no limitation upon all of those trees, but one tree, God set off limits. And he says, and the Lord said, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. The Lord gave it a mysterious name and placed his law on it, only that tree. And yet man's curiosity, and Satan took advantage with his lies and ability to deceive, and he came and got Eve to look at that tree. Oh, isn't that a tree good for fruit? And God does know, in the day you eat thereof, you'll be wise and as gods. And so she set her eyes on it and did eat. And then Adam also ate. So he was just as guilty, and he was the figurehead of mankind. All people were in the loins of Adam, and we all ate in that sense. None of us would have done any different. And that's man's perverse nature. He does not go to the thousand other trees, perhaps, that had just as good fruit, and he could have eaten lawfully, but he is led to the one thing that he's not to do, the thing that God prohibited him from doing. That's the perverse nature of sin. And would people, would two men come together if God had not said that a man shall not lie with a man? It's abomination. Well, we don't know. Or two women, would people be so excited to experiment and have sexual relations outside of marriage if God did not call it adultery and fornication and command it not to be done? We don't know. Certainly there would not be as much interest in that kind of activity if God had not set a law around it, but it's because there's a law around it that man is drawn. He's drawn to the thing that is protected by the boundary and the ancient landmark of the law of God, which says, you shall not proceed. You shall not cross this boundary, this marker. If you do, you will have transgressed the law of God. And in every generation, the children grow up and the children are confronted with these laws, these boundaries, and whether they've been officially instructed about them from their parents or during the church age from the church and the pastor, or whether it's the law that's written on their hearts and they know it's wrong because of that. Inevitably, what does man do? He breaks that marker and he goes beyond the boundary and transgresses the law of God and becomes a lawbreaker. And the Bible says, whosoever breaks the law on one point is guilty of all. And that's all that's necessary to bring the wages of sin, which is death, upon oneself and come under the wrath of God, just like Adam and Eve, when they broke that one law. There was only one law we're aware of at that time, but they broke it and brought death upon themselves and all their seed. And when people do these things, when they get involved in wrongdoing and sinful activities, you know, it's not just that it's spiritually wrong, it's something that brings spiritual death, but oftentimes there is safety in God's law. There is protection built in to the law of God for those that observe it and obey it and keep it. You know, just sometime if you hear reports of crimes and things going wrong, not always, of course, but oftentimes it's because somebody was somewhere where they shouldn't be. They're drinking and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, or they're doing something wrong, and as they're engaged in wrongful behavior, other wrong things happen. You see, they've exposed themselves. They've gone beyond the borders of God's protection in a way. But again, at this time in history, with this sin-cursed earth and iniquity abounding across the face of the earth, I'm not trying to say if people would keep the law of God, or if any individual were keep the law of God, no harm would come to him. No. But it's just to say that if someone follows the word of God, the law of God, they are less likely for those things to happen, although they still could happen. And there's also areas in sexual activity that bring diseases. And it happens with heterosexual couples as well as homosexual individuals. They engage in activity that God has set off limits. And there are people who get diseases that are sexual diseases. And so the Lord here, I think, is making reference to that, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet or needs be. It's sort of according to the natural law of the world. When people do things that are wrong, they sort of place themselves in a situation where something additionally wrong can happen. And that's what happens in this case, or can happen in this case. Now, the word error in verse 27, receiving themselves that recompense of error, it's Strong's number 4106. It's found 10 times in the New Testament. One place is in 1 John chapter 4. And I'll read from verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The spirit of error. And the spirit of truth is Christ. It is the Holy Spirit. The Bible is the truth. And the spirit operates through the word of God, the Bible, and brings truth to his people. Well, truth is declared to all, but it's only the elect people of God that hear the truth, recognize it, and are changed and saved and follow it. Whereby there's also, in the world, there's the working of Satan, and Satan is the father of lies. And so he brings the spirit of error. And we see this all over the place. No, No need for us to go into it, but that's this word here, the recompense of their error. They are believing the lie. And people, the world, prefer the lie over the truth. Jesus actually said to the Jews, who were the people of God, and if it was true of them, you can just imagine the case with those that are not the people of God. But he said to them, it's in John 8, verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. The very reason they did not believe him was due to the fact that he did speak the truth. If he had spoken a lie, they would believe him. Why? Well, because they were not able to hear the Spirit of truth. They did not have ears to hear. They lacked the Holy Spirit. They were not God's elect. They were unsaved, possessors of desperately wicked, deceitful hearts, and were of their father, the devil. It's in that chapter that Christ says that to them. And therefore, they had a spirit of error, where they would be zealous for the traditions of their fathers and the laws of men, and uphold that as though it were truth. And that's the fallen nature of man. And people in religious circles do this with various religions and with the Christian religion in the churches and congregations of the world today. And it's in the secular world with the idea of a Big Bang and evolution and the things that the world is believing today concerning marriage between two men, abortion, concerning gender identity. It's all coming from the spirit of error. And there's, in this case, God says, a recompense of their error, which was meat. Now, just one other Bible verse where this word error, the same Greek word translated as error, 4106 is found, but it's translated a different way. It's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, I'll start reading in verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. And the word strong is actually here a word that would be better translated as working, and the word delusion is our word error. So God shall send them working error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And we saw that here in Romans 1. They that have pleasure in those that do these things after a long list of iniquities. So, you know, here God is giving man up in Romans chapter 1 to his sin, to his ugly, spiritually filthy sin nature. It's what has been in the hearts of men and yet restrained throughout the history of the world. But now at the end, very well, very well. This is what you've wanted all along. And so first God starts with the church, and he removes his spirit from the congregations, and they go after their evil heart's desire with their insane wanderings after everything under the sun, except the truth of the word of God. They follow everyone and everything except Christ. And then on the day of transition, May 21, 2011, from judgment on the church exclusively to judgment on all unsaved people of the earth, God lifts his hand of restraint even further, and now the world is casting off more and more restraints as we go along. No more limitations on marriage. You know, now, yes, two men, two women. And you have to wonder what's to come, because there are still some restraints on marriage, as far as incestuous relationships. Will they cast that off? Because that comes from the Bible too. That's the word of God. God lays down the laws that intimate relatives are not to marry. And I would not be surprised. Or bestiality. God lays down the laws that mankind is not to lay with beasts. And there's the law of God. And there's already been rumblings concerning these things. How far will it go? And that's what I mean, that God's hand of restraint has come off more and more to a certain degree, but not totally, not yet. And yet it's possible that as we go further into the darkness of Judgment Day, and as man descends deeper into the depths of the depravity of his own heart, and those depths seem to just go down, down, down ever further, that we may even see more horrendous things before it's all over. And yet with each casting off of a restraint, yes, man rejoices and holds parades and has celebrations. Now we're free. Now we're free. Well, people have been saying that for quite a while, in the 60s and 70s. Now we're free to have free sex. And it's just brought misery and pain. Man has no understanding of freedom, and certainly no understanding of that which is right and good and will bring him happiness. He just makes himself all the more miserable and ruins life on earth, ruins his inheritance and the little time that he has left to enjoy it.
You've been listening to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. Visit our website at ebiblefellowship.org for additional studies. Until next time, may the Lord's perfect will be done.